already had a sermon. I can actually sit down now, really. In our children's story, I asked the children to listen out for the sermon, because sometimes I do plan my messages for them as well, and it's nice that it's nice that we all learn ourselves from what God has to share with us. Okay, I'm just going to. Our scripture reading was interesting, because we were learning about Daniel in our Sabbath school, and we had interesting conversations. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself amongst the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find ground for charge against Daniel in his conduct of government and affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel, unless it is something to do with the law of his God." Let's pray. Father, we're touching a subject that we all know and have known from we were younger. And I pray that you will speak through me and give us something new we can take away. Speak to me first, and then those listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. We know the story well. But who was Daniel? Well, there's at least four people named Daniel recorded in the Bible. However, probably the most well-known was the one we have been speaking about today, the friends of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, also known by the Babylonian names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Isn't it interesting we remember the Babylonian names more than the Hebrew names? Just goes to show. This Daniel was a consistent follower of God and God's ways, as taught by his parents and their ancestors. Daniel was a copycat of a tried and tested formula going as far back as the Garden of Eden. A copycat. Genesis 2, verse 15 to 17. God took man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. God gave him a command: "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Simply follow me and my words, and all will be well." Like I said, we know the story well about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve failed, and man has been failing ever since. But not all. Genesis 5, 22 to 24. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and has other sons and daughters. A copycat. Enoch followed God's formula. Copycat, someone who follows someone else. Now, Enoch followed God's formulas. Although Enoch lived a total of 365 years, Enoch walked faithfully with God. Enoch followed the formula. He walked faithfully with God, then he was no more. Why? Because God took him. I am a second born, and I have a brother and a sister that follow me. I was a fairly good pathfinder going, morning watch learning, church going, memory verse learning, hymn singing boy. My parents were so proud of me. Yet, I found myself in the wrong crowd when I was about 13 or 14 for stealing sports gear, secondhand though it may be, a baton trains I think I took, from our school. I was highly embarrassed. I let the school down. I let my church down. I let my parents down. And I let my God down, which saw me in tears. It was the first time I was getting into trouble. I knew the formula, but I messed up. Over 40 years later, I'm here talking to you today. So I guess it wasn't totally all bad. I can learn from my mistakes. You see, young people, you are not the only ones who have ever made mistakes. I'm sure your parents and guardians have made one or two mistakes themselves. Sometimes it would be good for us as parents to confess to our children when we have made mistakes. That when we ask them to do what is right, we let them know, because we messed up, we don't want you to mess up too. You see, we were taught to copyright God's law. From I could walk and talk, you see, my parents were taught and taught us Proverbs 6, verse 22. And what does it say? Proverbs 6, 22 says, God said, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we have no excuses. Is there clear and clear and going? Clear is there. At school, we all learnt, well, we did at school, our five times table. Once five is five, two fives is 10, 10 fives are 50, 11 fives are 55, 12 fives are 60. We taught that in a song so you wouldn't forget it. We learned the formula by copycat. Write, listen, speak, copycat. We learn fractions, but why? We learn percentages, but why? Who needs that? We walk around with a computer all day long. Mobile phone. We are taught kitchen safety as soon as we could understand, which we are taught that as a child, if you put your hand on a hot stove, you're going to get burnt. Well, if the stove is on. We were taught this as a child. Train up a child in the way. That's two things in the formula. The training and the way. Sometimes we take that training a million miles from the way. We were given the information and responsibility to use that information well. Yes, it isn't easy to follow what we know it's right to do unless we put
the time in and get to know God and allow God to hold and protect us. There is a saying, smooth sea never made a skilled sailor. Do you know who said that? Smooth sea never made a skilled sailor. That was Franklin D. Roosevelt, who was a skilled sailor himself. You can't have developed practical problems. You can't have developed practical problem-solving skills if you've never faced difficult situations before. All the covenants God gave his people, they said, we will do, yet still they departed from the way. The promised land was promised to Abraham, etc. Yet 40 years after straying from God's formula, God sends Moses to take his people back. Why? Because they said, I'm sorry, and pleaded for help. A 40-day journey turns into 40 years because of disobedience, yet God's hand is still out. Each time Hem or Hempstead messes up, God takes us back. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with some of your heart. No? Trust the Lord with part of your heart. No. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Acknowledge, submit, seek, recognize. He will direct your path, clear obstacles, make smooth your way, make it straight. Show you which path to take. A simple formula. The hymn says, trust and obey, because there is no other way to be happy in Jesus. We sing that all the time. Jesus always holds his hand out. When we take children to cross a busy road, we hold their hands. And if they try and pull away from us, we'll pick them up and hold them close. Why? Because we love them. God is no different. Yet there comes a time when the pleading stops. God never forces us to follow him. Then comes a warning, do or else. Then comes action. We're fasting forward now to Jeremiah chapter 7. God gives a young teenager, Jeremiah, a message. He tells him, you're going to be my mouthpiece. Jeremiah follows the Lord. At first he wasn't that keen, but then God says, tell Jerusalem, which we said was the capital of Judah, Jerusalem. God tells them, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Which place? The land of milk and honey. If you truly execute justice with one another, and you do not oppress the sojourner, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, or go after strange gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in this land that I gave you of old and to your father of old forever. But in verse 8, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. You steal, you murder, you commit adultery, you swear falsely, you make offerings to Baal. Verse 13-15, because you have done all these things, and when I have spoken to you persistently, you didn't listen or answer me. So in verse 15, I will cast you and your kinsmen and all the offspring of Ephraim out of my sight. Jeremiah 20, verse 4, I will make you a terror to yourself and your friends. I will give you, I will give all Judah into the hands of the king of Babylon. Jeremiah 25, verse 9 to 12. Everything's coming full circle. We started with Daniel. Daniel was told as a child to follow God. Predicted Jerusalem's destruction at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. 70 years of captivity. Why didn't the people from Jerusalem listen to Jeremiah? For the same reason that people from Noah's days did not listen. So Daniel was taken by the Babylonians. The same reason why they didn't listen is the same reason that we don't listen. We have a choice. God has given us the Bible to tell us how to work, how to learn, how to behave. Now, Daniel was of royal and noble upbringing. Daniel has been tested with his friends all through the time in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar sees something different with Daniel and his friends. Over all the captive of the Babylonians, they were 10 times better. Yet the prophecy goes in Ezra 1, verse 1 to 3. We're not going to read that. You can read it at home. 2 Chronicles 36, 20 to 23. Look at verse 21. To fulfill the words of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land has enjoyed its Sabbath, all the days that it lay desolate, it kept Sabbath 70 years. Verse 23, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Isn't that interesting? God can use anybody to do his work. So many years has now passed. Daniel is still constantly serving God and interpreting his dreams. And around 70 years has now passed. Daniel 5 looks at Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. His grandson did not follow the footsteps of his grandfather. Even though Nebuchadnezzar was not a good king, you would say, to start off with, yet still he turned to God. He made an example, and yet still all examples his grandson never followed. So his grandson was killed. We go now and look in history books, and he in the history books mentions that the ones that took over Babylon was Cyrus, Darius, and it's shown in the history books. We're coming now to Daniel 6. We're not going to read the whole chapter of the story of Daniel because we know that already. We're picking the part of Daniel's life and how Daniel behaved. Darius set over the kingdom 120 satraps. We call them chief representatives or supreme governors, who collect taxes, maintain security, and the armies. Then Darius has three administrators, which included Daniel. Daniel, the Bible says, was so distinguished over all the other high officials because he had such an excellent spirit or good character. Darius planned to put Daniel over everything, over everyone in his kingdom. This made the representatives and the administrators unhappy and jealous. They plotted to get rid of Daniel. We know the story well about Daniel Lion's Den, so we're not going to go through that. Time doesn't allow us. They played on the king's ego in verse 5. We shall not find any grounds for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the laws of his God. What a legacy. Daniel lived a life consistent. What did he say? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Have you ever heard a drunk man sing hymns that he learned at Sabbath school or Sunday school? He's not a follower of God now, he just inebriated. And yet still, the songs never leave them. When we learn to ride a bicycle, we start with the trainer wheels. And then after, when we get competent, we take the training wheels off and we ride. Did you know, after not riding for 20 years, you can get on that same bike and still remember how to ride? Oh, you might wobble a bit, but you still know how to ride. I learnt as a sport gymnastics, and they taught me, whenever you do a back somersault or anything, don't turn to the side. Look straight back, or else you'll go to the side. When you're attempting bowling, you don't bowl against yourself. You hold your hand and keep the ball true. All the things we learn, and as good as you get, they're all learning stuff we learn. We learn our tables. We learn all these things. Daniel learned all these things as a child. Daniel is now around 70 to 75 years old. He has been consistent, so much so as the king saw something in him. The question I have for you, what can people say about you? Do you copycat God's law? Do you follow God? There is still time for change.